Chapter 5. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a powerful organ. Indeed, its influence is so prodigious that strict rules have had to be drawn up by its editorial staff to prevent its misuse. So none of its field researchers are allowed to accept any kind of services, discounts, or preferential treatment of any kind in return for editorial favours, unless A. they have made a bona fide attempt to pay for a service in the normal way, B. their lives would otherwise be in danger, or C. they really want to. Since invoking the third rule always involved giving the editor a cut, Ford always preferred to muck about with the first two. He stepped out along the street, walking briskly. The air was stifling, but he liked it because it was stifling city air, full of excitingly unpleasant smells, dangerous music, and the distant sound of warring police tribes. He carried his satchel with an easy swaying motion, so that he could get a good swing at anybody who tried to take it from him without asking. It contained everything he owned, which at the moment wasn't much. A limousine careered down the street, dodging between the piles of burning garbage and frightening an old pack animal which lurched screeching out of its way, stumbled against the window of a herbal remedies shop, set off a wailing alarm, blundered off down the street, and then pretended to fall down the steps of a small pasta restaurant where it knew it would get photographed and fed. Ford was walking north. He thought he was probably on his way to the spaceport, but he had thought that before. He knew he was going through that part of the city where people's plans often changed quite abruptly. "Do you want to have a good time?" said a voice from the doorway. "As far as I can tell," said Ford, "I'm having one, thanks." "Are you rich?" said another. This made Ford laugh. He turned and opened his arms in a wide gesture. "Do I look rich?" he said. "Don't know," said the girl. "Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you'll get rich. I have a very special service for rich people." "Oh, yes," said Ford, intrigued but careful. "And what's that?" "I tell them it's okay to be rich." Gunfire erupted from a window high above them, but it was only a bass player getting shot for playing the wrong riff 3 times in a row, and bass players are 2 a penny in Handold City. Ford stopped and peered into the dark doorway. "You what?" he said. The girl laughed and stepped forward a little out of the shadow. She was tall and had that kind of self-possessed shyness, which is a great trick if you can do it. "It's my big number," she said. "I have a master's degree in social economics and can be very convincing. People love it, especially in this city." "Goosenarg," said Ford Prefect, which was a special Beetlejuicean word he used when he knew he should say something but didn't know what it should be. He sat on a step, took from his satchel a bottle of that old jank spirit and a towel. He opened the bottle and wiped the top of it with the towel, which had the opposite effect to the one intended, in that the old jank spirit instantly killed off millions of the germs that had been slowly building up quite a complex and enlightened civilization on the smellier patches of his towel. "Want some?" he said, after he'd had a swig himself. She shrugged and took the proffered bottle. They sat for a while, peacefully listening to the clamour of burglar alarms in the next block. "As it happens, I'm owed a lot of money," said Ford. "So if I ever get hold of it, can I come back and see you then, maybe?"
"Sure, I'll be here," said the girl. "How much is a lot?"
15 years back pay.
"For?"
"Writing 2 words.
"Zarkon," said the girl. "Which one took the time?"
"Oh, the first one. Once I got that, the second one just came one afternoon after lunch."
A huge electronic drum kit hurtled through the window high above them and smashed itself to bits in the street in front of them. It soon became apparent that some of the burglar alarms on the next block had been deliberately set off by one police tribe in order to lay an ambush for the other. Cars with screaming sirens converged on the area, only to find themselves being picked off by copters which came thudding through the air between the city's mountainous tower blocks.
"In fact," said Ford, having to shout now above the din, "it wasn't quite like that. I wrote an awful lot, but they just cut it down."
He took his copy of the guide back out of his satchel.
"Then the planet got demolished," he shouted. "Really worthwhile job, eh? They've still got to pay me, though."
"You work for that thing?" the girl yelled back.
"Yeah.
Good number."
"You want to see the stuff I wrote?" he shouted. "Before it gets erased? The new revisions are due to be released tonight over the net. Someone must have found out that the planet I spent 15 years on has been demolished by now. They missed it on the last year revisions, but it can't escape their notice forever.